G-Biss at Once and For All, Joseph and Friends, Grey Horse Tavern, 9:30, and at 9 p.m. at Diggers. Who are those guys? And if you're a local venue, band, or promoter, and you want to get your gigs on the concert billboard, send an email to Scene, that's S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. And as always, thanks for listening to the concert billboard right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. It's 3 minutes after 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for an abbreviated version of Off the Wall. Good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. You have no idea how close I came to not being here with you this Tuesday evening. Or maybe even any future Tuesday evening, the way I had to drive to get over here. It's incredible, the Kafkaish day I'm having. I just got in from driving all the way from Manhattan, where I had to go all the way into Manhattan, literally, to press a button and then come all the way back out. That's the kind of frustrating day I've had. And that's 5.5 hours right there, because it's rush hour, it's the middle of the day, everybody's being stupid, SUVs are on the road, it's raining, there's ice. I have never on any one single 24-hour period had so many people and machines conspire to screw me over. But it's all worth it, because I made it back. But you know, I'm so stressed out right now that I need to just sort of relax, take a swig or two of something, and maybe listen to some music from Scotland. Yeah? Oh, yeah. And after that, maybe some native speak from Scotland, huh?
Graan Hamley agus Unam Jackson, Eli Yal Hune ni Hierval. Fistrachoshok will fail richva cool harien, carput sailor shock of Yan and Halla, Hyersnack Werner, I used to tour, special Han the Malik, Beatajak Miala as a dolkamaga with Fisker. Kutoka teas, coffee, starry in Mushnok of Yaka agus barbecue. Schnacko Fisker Malik. Eter miala agus dawod fisgar. Rwydach drwy'n di efo sy'n siwai, di efo sy'n hawn na fel rwychiau cwl chari yna sioch. Crynwch o chwl y ffrachau gyda brwy'n des, falaf gadlis agus gael rwychiau cwl chari. A smwydwch mi estat yn ei chymiad na smwyd agus a fisgar mi gylio. Dyna nhw'n ma hawn ddi chianoch. Mae'n gaf eich gynnas y fal anna hewch anna stion yma, gwrdwch biad o gwybod eisiau nhw. Pe'n mynd gwybod gydig o'r ni be, sy'n mynd gwybod o'r ni be, agus fe'n mynd cwynach ag am ddi ha bydig eitha mae'n gwybod ysfiar yn di bach o lai ag ein ychydig yn ddach yn y sios ffemi cwman am chynig sy'n gael mi a tiw gwaen a nach oedd yn gyda piw cawl dy hiol yn y hos ys dywed bydig sy'n cael fforag at yna sy'n dy gyda gyda hw gwyd ys dwy mae'n bydd un dy fferi hiwn gyda dy sioch a fysyn nhw cianoch sy'n rwych gytor ydy ni bys fel ag radim a mi hiwn gyda dy gy mandolin ein agos ffiol sa'n mysio sia ach a chlwychdiw hwn siach a hwn ach Heis mae'n rhaid yn ach a chredyd o ffrys i hwyl mi o'r o.
Na'r chai mi sias gan y mawein yn dre Gwr nes y ffal am ffach go ie Is co y leis ysgrwn yn tre Fydd ies diwr mi nad hyn
All right, well, let's fade this down for now. I'll tell you what, we'll go out with this, because that's I really like that song. But I feel better, just that those few moments of Scotland kind of brought me back down to earth a little bit. And I'd like to actually go right back to Scotland. In fact, resume where we left off last week, where I was at the Whiskey Society. Oh, boy, I'd like to be there now. With my good friends Mutant Rob and Peg, and we were basically tasting all kinds of different whiskeys and talking about life and all kinds of other things. So let's go back to that, and yeah, we'll have a regular show next week when there's no stress involved. Let's go to Scotland and enjoy the time there. So we're actually in the place where Trainspotting took place?
We're in Leith, where the story mostly takes place. But not in the actual... This building, the story... No, the story doesn't. They're actually, during the day, people do Trainspotting literary tours.
Really?
Where you can go and visit the actual places that are mentioned in the book. I don't know all the pubs. I've been to a lot of the pubs. I don't recognize them all necessarily. But
isn't the pub that they had that big like fight where they smashed the glass or somebody's
apparently
head?
Apparently that pub I had heard closed down and people tried to save that pub. But I've never been in that one. I'm not sure if that one... Seeing as the movie was mostly filmed in Glasgow. There's only a couple of scenes in Edinburgh. Because they thought Glasgow looked more urban. Because if you filmed it in Leith, it would be like, oh, quaint cobblestone streets and medieval buildings. And it just, the image of lots of junkies there just, it wouldn't jive in the movies.
Sure, there are lots of junkies here.
Oh, yeah. It's a serious problem.
I'll sell the place short. They're junkies and they deal with the cobblestone streets and the old Victorian houses just fine.
Medieval houses, too.
Medieval, yeah. All that kind of stuff.
Still a serious problem here, but lots of people actually have used lots of drugs and somehow managed to maintain normal lives, so it's not like you've got the stereotypical junkies of just, people sort of nodding off in the street. You have a few like that.
We were talking about as we were driving over here, we passed a particular pub that you guys warned me not to go into because it's a pub that attacks
I'm not going to mention it by name.
I'm not mentioning it by name, but it's like it was described as a violent pub. Like the pubs have different clientele, but this one caters to violent people who basically like to attack foreigners.
I don't know if they actually have a thing for foreigners, but yes, I've seen a couple of pubs where people have been beaten up outside.
But this one had a particularly great story. Did they not actually manage to get their name into tourist books so that foreigners would go in there and get beaten up?
All I know is their name used to be in tourist books before it was bought up, so that tourists would, in theory, see this and go to this pub, but then I used to see people being beaten up by locals.
So
I don't know if it was to get tourists to go so they'd be beaten up, or just only certain kinds of tourists would be beaten up, or maybe the same couple of people.
But it was
the same two people that kept going over and over.
People would beat up folks who weren't from the town. And what happened was they beat up the wrong person one day.
The story is they beat up the wrong person. And
what did he do in revenge?
He bought the pub and transformed it.
Transformed it, changed it. What, repainted it, or what did he do exactly?
It became a diva singing, what's the term?
Transgender
karaoke. Friendly karaoke bar.
Turned into a transgender karaoke
queen,
bar.
Queen singing. There's a term I'm missing.
A gay bar.
No, drag queen.
Okay. And so that was the end of that, or was it?
Well, supposedly the locals just kind of gave in and started going anyway and just dressing the part.
But you're saying that instead of just walking away, they actually went to the gay bar and dressed up in drag.
After a time, this is the story I have heard.
So they adapted and they actually came dressed.
Now a violent drag queen
bar. Now it's a violent drag queen bar, so they
allegedly,
come and they still beat up the locals, except now they're dressed in drag to fit in with the bar's image.
So I hear.
That's quite a story. That's worthy of a movie in itself. Okay, we have more.
Well,
more,
you know, it's a sequel to Billy Elliot,
and we have a printout now.
They were out of the of one of your selection, and
they were out of the one I wanted.
Yeah, unfortunately, and that, but that distillery, every whiskey is very, very different from one another. So I didn't want to take a chance. So what I thought would be interesting, because I was telling you about it, was to get a Japanese one. And the Japanese one that they have currently is this Timber and Bonfires one. And I think I've tried this one before, and it's very good. I hope it's the same one I tried before that is very good.
It smells
very nice.
116.13. I think I've heard about that one.
Yeah. 116.13 has a fine reputation in these parts.
Oh, that was 112.13. I'm sorry, that's a different one I'm thinking of.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It rings a bell.
Yeah.
But, so it smelled really nice, and I thought, well, it's unique, it's from Japan, we could give it a go.
It's 23 years old.
It's culturally interesting, it smells real nice, it's worth a sip, I thought.
It's called Timberwood Bonfires. It says this distillery was founded in 1934 by Masataka Takatsuro, who studied at Glasgow University. 1934, that was before the big global misunderstanding that involved Japan.
Indeed it was. So he studied at the right time, because actually a little later, and it might not have been so, you know, welcoming in Glasgow.
He chose Hokkaido? Okay, I'm supposed to know what that is? What does that mean?
Place in Japan.
Place in Japan, okay. Because he thought it reflected the natural conditions of Scotland. This sample is bronze gold from a refill hagi.
Oh, that means... Usually it's hogshead. It's the type of cask.
This was put in a hogshead.
See,
if I was vegetarian...
Hogshead.
How am I supposed to know? You know, this is Scotland. They could do that.
Well, you could. I mean, I think that it would limit the supply of how much whiskey you could really fit in, unless you had a ginormous hog, really. But
they have really big hogs here. They eat lots of haggis and deep-fried Mars bars.
How can hogs eat haggis? They've got hogs in there, don't they?
No.
Or is that just sheep lungs?
Sheep.
Okay.
You can get pork haggis, but it's usually cheap haggis.
It's like bringing coals to Newcastle. The nose is definitely smoky. What does that mean, the nose is definitely smoky? Whose nose?
Your nose will be when you swirl it and you smell it, you will smell lots of smoke.
So my nose will definitely be smoky.
Yeah. Aroma. They say the nose.
Aroma.
But without much maritime character. It is smoky. It is smoky bacon crisp, peaches, and raisins.
It's not going to have too much sea salt in it when they're saying not much maritime character. So it's not going to be as salty as your last drop.
It's all coded language here. Okay, I get it now. With water, the smoke is toned down a touch. The panel found grapes. The panel, and I capitalized panel. The panel found grapes and gingerbread.
They have a panel that tastes and selects. I don't know if they taste, but the panel selects. But the panel tastes and the whiskeys and tries to write descriptions. And
I think I passed that panel on the street earlier. It was the guy with the dog and the cup. the mouth feet. What in God's
mouth
name is
feel.
Oh, mouth feel. Okay, well, it still doesn't make any sense.
The way that it feels around your tongue when you swish it around in your mouth.
This is like newspeak. The mouth feel.
Mouth. The mouth feel.
Yeah, but how do you make up a word like that? The mouth feel. We don't
that's
talk like this.
This is fine Anglo-Saxon.
Exercise in creative writing, each one of these.
All right, well,
try to outdo one another.
One of the guys in the panel is a poet.
Apparently so.
Poet on the panel, so blame the poet.
Oh, no, I like his mouth words. But his mouth, feet, and palate are also
mouth
smoky.
Sorry,
I keep saying a T there. Keep saying a T there. The mouth, feel, and palate are also smoky. Oak smoke and timber wood bonfires?
Yep, hence the name, Timber.
Oh, how about that? Wow, they said the name inside the thing. I should have noticed that.
It's just like a movie.
Once diluted, the velvety orange flavors come through. A surprisingly good dram, truly worth trying.
Yep, and 23 years, it's waited 23 years to come to you.
I want to see a negative review by this guy.
There are some where they're like, give it a go. Maybe you'll like it.
Tastes like the underside of a bus, you know, something like that. You know,
sometimes just that's a good whiskey.
It's like, oh, I've never liked that flavor of a bus when I actually tasted the bus, but now.
Usually when they say, my opinion is when it says Parma Violets, that's their polite way of saying negative.
Well, what were we doing in March 1985? Because that's when this was distilled.
I'm not going to date myself.
1985, I was probably wearing bad fashion.
It was the 80s, no shit.
I had an Elfkin hairstyle trying to look like Pat Benatar still.
My God, Reagan was president.
Yeah. Reagan nominally was president.
It was in his second term.
Yeah. How is it?
It definitely... Yeah, it's got a long-lasting after bite. Yeah, it's different, but I can't really put it into words exactly how.
Are you turning Japanese?
This one's from LaCroix. It's a fairly smoky, very smooth one, I think.
Smoky and smooth.
If memory serves, water really opens this one that I've
all right,
been passing.
We'll do the water next.
That's when the light shining from a Croft window.
I'm not getting the window.
Comforting on the nose, honey roast ham, crisp bacon, sticky toffee, chimney soot, right, lavender, and Christmas spices evoke light from the windows of a croft. A dram to come home to. Palate had smoke and burning scented wood, meatiness, dry ash, and caramel.
I wonder if part of my palate is just disabled because all this, like, all these words, I'm just, you know, it tastes nice and all that. I do taste differences, but, you know, caramel, I wasn't getting that. Unless this is the caramel one, is it?
No.
Well, then I'm hopeless because I thought maybe I tasted caramel there.
This is smoke perished rubber brake pads and melted wellies.
Brake pads.
Melted wellies. Those are boots.
All right, is the word brake pads in there?
Yes.
All right. I no longer take this seriously if they're going to start describing taste with brake pads.
Smoky bacon crisps, smoked sausage, poster paint, and caramel.
There is caramel in there.
Oh,
I knew
yeah.
I tasted caramel. Ha!
And brake pads.
I didn't get the brake pads.
I've never tasted brake pads. I would have no idea. They might be really... They might taste like caramel.
I've smelled brake pads, and I wouldn't want to taste them.
Yeah, I could maybe smell brake pads at that. Actually.
You could smell brake pads.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to do that?
Well, I wanted to taste the whiskey. I didn't want to taste the brake pads necessarily.
Now, why would anybody want to make a whiskey that had brake pad taste?
It wasn't intentional.
It's not intentional.
Oh, because they don't know what's going to happen when they put it in.
Exactly. It's like any, you know, it's like making a wine. You'd never know what's going to happen.
Maybe there were some brake pads in the cask and they didn't realize it. But
that would explain it.
Who knows what the barrel was used for before.
Interesting.
They found the barrel in the dock and said, hey, let's make whiskey with it.
But if this becomes very popular, they're going to find barrels that did have contact with brake pads for future use.
Maybe. Yeah, it's very... You have brake pad candies. You can make the cartoon. You do the whole synergy thing. Get kids drinking whiskey early by liking having a brake pad cartoon characters.
In Europe, they were showing on an investigative TV show here. They've been playing with wines. They'll take cheaper grapes and then add yeast that will give off residues that will taste like a Merlot grape or like a Cabernet grape or like a Shiraz grape. So they're cheating. And so you get a cheaper wine, but it'll taste like the flavor of whatever grape it should mimic. And it's...
scarier, they'll add lots of sugar and then put hydrochloric acid in the wine to have it kind of degrade and appear more alcoholic than some process that it actually sort of breaks the sugar down into some alcohol, but of course you have a lot of hydrochloric acid.
What happened?
The water really changed that one.
Which one was that again? Was that the brake pad?
That's not the brake pad. This one is the going home to the croft through the window.
You can taste.
Oh, this is the window one.
Yeah, this is the window one. I would suggest you taste that again after this little bit of water.
Still not gonna taste the window.
I like yours actually, the timberwood.
Not sure what line I'm supposed to be seeing, but it's good.
Don't go to the light.
It seems full flavor, you know, and doesn't have a long aftertaste.
It's a little bit better, though, with the water.
Well, it's hard. There's three of them here. I cycled through others, so I can't really recall exactly what that tasted like last time I had it, but, you know, it's good. It's...
Water, this is sweet and sour raincoats.
Sweet and sour raincoats.
Yeah, with a little water, that's definitely a raincoat.
Okay, this is, you can definitely, when you put it, just swirling it, you can smell, it smells like burnt rubber.
Oh boy.
It does.
Let me at least try to get that.
You have to swirl it.
You have to swirl to get the burnt rubber. If you don't swirl, you don't smell the burnt rubber.
I'm not sure.
No, I can swirl. I can swirl.
He's a good swirler.
Am I swirling good?
A little more swirl.
I don't want it to splash.
It's not going to splash. This is designed not to splash.
Oh, I can make this splash.
Yeah, I can too.
Believe me, I can do it. All right, now I'm going to smell.
Can you smell the burnt rubber? I do.
No, but I swear I can smell caramel now. And this is the one with no caramel at all, right?
No, it does have caramel in the description.
But it's like to the taste, the sweet and sour.
That might be burnt rubber. Or burnt caramel, or...
Sweet and sour raincoats in the taste, though.
Yeah, I smell it. Mm. To me, it starts off like a burnt caramel, and then it like, and then if you just take a little step away, it kind of goes off, and it smells like a burnt welly.
Do they have desserts here, or rubber, or anything? I'm getting a taste for windows, and well, dessert isn't really fruit, is it? I mean, you got a couple of like, you know, burnt pieces of rubber or pieces of a window or whatever it is that they. Is this mine? I even forget what mine was. All right.
Timber wood bonfires, Great Britain there.
And water was put in this, right?
I didn't put water in it.
I didn't know.
Then it probably was not.
Yeah, let's put some water in it.
Okay.
Let me taste it again immediately after you do that, and I can compare it to what I remember. Thank you.
Oh, you get the ash from this.
Oh, yeah, definitely a difference because it seems to spread out throughout my mouth, like more left to right than before, where it just sort of went straight down.
Mm. Yeah, it's.
That seems more intense.
It's more intense, and they call it opening the flavor, but really it just opens up the sensations of your taste buds, and I think it's just down to perhaps your tongue's less numb from all of the alcohol, and you're able to taste the flavors a little bit better.
That could be. But the water definitely had an effect. It reminds me of what happened to me in an Indian restaurant yesterday, actually, in Glasgow, where, I don't know if you've ever seen this, the guy comes out after you're finished, and there's a little tablet, looks like a tablet on a plate, and then he comes with a little pitcher of water and pours some water over it. And then this little tablet starts to unfold and turns into a little towel.
What?
I've never seen that.
I've never seen that. That's crazy.
Well, I did have some wine, but I know I saw it. And, yeah, and it was like something to wipe your face with. And the reason I know that exists is because I once bought this as part of a camping thing where you could basically have towels with you, except you don't have to carry towels. You simply pour water over them and they become towels. I thought it was really cool that in an Indian restaurant, they come, they make a big deal of it, they put it on a plate, and they pour water with a little pitcher, and voila, it turns into a towel.
Is it like astronaut towels?
Yeah, it's like astronaut, exactly like that. The thing is, I'm worried that some tourists are going to try to eat these things as some kind of like exotic dessert or something like that. Because the care with which they come and they pour the water over it makes it seem like it's something really expensive.
Well, or they, what if they just don't wait until the guy comes and then it, like...
Well, no, he comes with the little capsule and the pitcher.
Oh, so he doesn't pause and, like, give them a chance to just eat it?
No, but he makes a whole big, you know, flourishing gesture.
They don't let you eat it.
Yeah, at some point someone's going to eat it and then this whole thing is going to be stopped.
Imagine you'd have to save somebody from choking and they'd have to, like, reach down their throat and pull out the little towel. I mean... that would be so nasty.
Or worse, what if you swallow the capsule first and then drink a glass of water? What happens then?
I guess you'd be full for quite some time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I don't understand why they...
It's like a new diet pill.
Why can't they just hand you a damn towel? I don't understand what all this is about, but...
It's a theatrics. You go, ooh, and tip more, I don't know.
Well,
you come back.
I want to go.
Well, the thing is, I mean...
Remember not to eat the funny pill.
I went into this place, and I knew what to order because I go to a lot of Indian places, and it was obvious I wasn't from around there, so I think they treated me a little bit differently. Like, they didn't, like, try to explain things. And when the guy did this, when he poured this over, he looked at me and said, you know what this is for. And it's like I had seen it 100 times before, so I think he might have falsely assumed that I was familiar with every single aspect of their particular operation and that Indian restaurants all over the world do this. But literally, this is the first time I've ever seen it.
Either. I used to work in a Japanese restaurant where you would be brought oshibori, which are the little hand towels that you would use before, perhaps after your meal. And those are, you know, that's a really nice idea. It's like, oh yeah, allow me to freshen up. Especially, you know, the little towelettes that you get when you're eating, like, spare ribs or... Those are pretty useless, the little ones that come in.
Well, there's two different kinds. There's the kind you have at first, sort of hot, and they're cloth, and you know, just basically rinse your hands.
They give you the little finger bowl to dip your hands in.
But then afterwards, they give you the things that are in little packages, little condom packages, and you just take those out, and you know, get all the crap off your hands that way. And two different things. You guys want to describe the dining experience we had tonight at the Kurdish place? We had quite an adventure.
Yeah, we forgot to record the rainstorm washed us out.
It happened so quickly we didn't have time to record it, but we were basically just sitting outside minding our own business. We ordered an appetizer and we started drinking wine. And, well, Peg, why don't you describe what happened next?
That's what it was. We were drinking alcohol at the Kurdish place.
It was because we mentioned the rain cloud overhead, and it got angry.
Well, it
was starting. It had gone from being sunny to dark and ominous in a matter of about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden there was this large cloud overhead, and, you know, speak of the devil. And so I said, "Oh, maybe if it starts to rain, you'll want my hat, Rob." And then he said, "No, I'm fine." And then all of a sudden, pelting down, and it just. Once it started, it was full out for about a few minutes, and then it blew over.
Everybody, people sitting outside, everybody charged for the door. Everyone got up from the table and just ran into the place.
Oh, yeah.
But there was no room inside the place for us.
So, it's the last one who's
and
like...
There was an hour wait for an actual table.
It's weird when you have an appetizer and then they tell you there are no tables.
Yeah.
So that's like being in some kind of limbo,
yeah,
where you don't know...
Standing in the doorway, holding our appetizers and wine...
Yeah,
that was strange. It was being a local. I'm used to the rain, so I was the last one in the door, and I couldn't get in the door, so I'm actually having to stand out in the rain. I'm like, is there any room? Can people move in? They're all huddled together there in the hallway, looking like survivors. You know, just jumped ship, and
And then somehow you managed to sell a bottle of wine.
Did, yeah, there was an Australian couple who were debating the fact that whether or not there was an alcohol license and what to do, because they wanted something
with other people, and they were going off to buy a bottle of wine. This is a bring your own place.
I explained to them it's BYO, there isn't any alcohol here actually, but they're okay with you bringing your own bottle of wine. There's a slight corkage fee. And then because I'd brought two bottles for our dinner, I thought, well, since we were coming to the Whiskey Society, we're probably not going to go through two full bottles. Fair enough. I just bought the second one, if they're willing to buy it off me. So I offered it up to them, and they seemed very, very happy to buy it off of me.
You sold it at cost.
I did sell it at cost. Although, in retrospect, perhaps I should have at least charged them a little finder's fee.
Oh, a corkage fee. Well, in God's name, is a corkage fee anywhere?
A corkage fee is if a restaurant has a policy of they're not going to have their own alcohol license, so they welcome you to bring your own bottle.
And then they can charge you for you bringing your own bottle.
Yeah, they can charge you a corkage fee anywhere from like £1 to £3.
It's amazing when they can simply just charge you for something that really they're not doing anything. Like, it's like you charging them because you're sitting in their chair, you know.
But you're using their wine glasses that they have to wash.
Well, what if we brought our own wine glasses? Would that avoid the corkage fee? Probably not. They come up with some other.
Really nasty. I mean, like, I'm bringing my own plates.
And it's not a glass fee. It's a cork. Basically, they're charging you to open the bottle, even if you open the bottle yourself.
And you also dispose of the bottle when you're
done. Well, we can do that, too. You know, it avoids all these charges.
We can't really control how much we drink if we bring our own. So, I mean, we could each bring our own bottle of cask-strength whiskey and sit there and chug it and then get really obnoxiously drunk, and then they'd have to handle us. So maybe it's a handler's fee, really.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it sound so impersonal.
Half the time, even though it says corkage fee, they never actually charge it. So.
Did they actually charge it?
I don't remember. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it. And actually, usually I tip a little bit more if they didn't charge it, because I'd like to encourage them not to charge us for drinking our own wine.
There, you know, I was in Holland, and so many places there would not give you tap water. In fact, a couple places said they weren't allowed to give you tap water.
I think they're lying when they say that.
I think so, too, because some places did give us tap water, but I think what they want to do is they want to sell you water. Another place charged us for tap water. It wasn't much. It was like, I don't know, it was like a euro 50 for a pitcher, but still, charging you for something that they just pour out of the drain or out of the sink, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
well, who knows where it could have been out of the toilet? Nobody knows.
Well, what's worse is, like, most of the bottled water that people are paying for is actually just tap water from another place, you know, like the hills of Pittsburgh or something, you know. And so charging for bottled water, I think, is just obscene and obnoxious anyhow. But yeah, a lot of times you'll find here, when you say, and we'd all like water, they'll say sparkling or still, and that's the insinuation that of course you're getting bottled. And then when you say no, just tap, they'll look at you as if like you've just said, no, I'd like to lick the floor, thank you. You know, it's just,
although sometimes they wonder whether you want city water here. There's certain parts of town. We won't go there.
Okay, now I got to find out more about that, but I'll find out later. But I will say, you know, at least in New York, not only do they not have a problem giving you tap water, but they'll give it to you without you asking. And I don't really know any other place that does that.
Really? I thought they were required to ask you now.
There was a time when we had a drought where they were required to ask, or you had to ask them, but now they just give it to you.
I actually like it in places where they give you, like, a jug or bottle of tap water. So then, you know, yes, you've got your tap water, but you don't have to keep saying, I'm really thirsty, can I have more? Mm-hmm. And I like places where when you order wine or beer, they give you water without asking.
That's responsible, isn't it? I think if it was responsible hosting, because, you know, your guests will have lesser hangovers if for every drink they have a glass of water. And it also, it encourages better socialization when people aren't just drinking only alcohol and getting really drunk. I just think that it's healthier overall. But people on the other side of saying, don't give everybody water, will say, well, it's just a waste of water, because if somebody doesn't drink it, then that's bad for water conservation. And it's an insult to the environment that way. So I can see both sides of it, but I always get water. I always drink the water.
Water is good for you. Let that be the message that we leave here tonight.
And if it boosts your immune system and exposes you to some new parasites, well, there you go.
He's pouring water as we speak, which I think is amazing. Yes. No better sound in the world.
Ah, yes. Memories from last August. I was over in Scotland visiting former U.S. Beers Mutant Rob and Peg. And that was recorded in the Whiskey Society, which is this big, huge building filled with people all sampling different types of Scottish whiskey, actually Japanese too, I guess, and other parts of the world. And as you could hear, the descriptions are simply phenomenal and amazing and imaginative and all that. Everybody in Scotland seems to be a whiskey fanatic or an expert. They always are able to tell you exactly how to drink it and what to look out for and various other things like that. Last week we played the first part of this. This was the second and last part of this particular aspect of the trip. There's one more section where you'll hear me try haggis for the first time. Yes, I actually tried that. This is I guess it's a breakfasty type food that you have, and it's served or at least cooked in a sheep's lung. Is that right? Yeah, sheep's lung. It's really kind of disgusting sounding. And you'll hear my reaction, unedited, as it happened. I'm not sure when we'll get to that. That'll be probably maybe next month sometime. Next week I'd like to get back to a regular one-hour show where we take phone calls and talk about what's going on in the world. But, you know, today I needed this. I'm really glad that we had this half hour to fall back on, because after driving through rush hour traffic and racing to get here in time for the show and literally making it within 30 seconds, I don't know how that happened, because I started off in Manhattan and, you know, I thought I had plenty of time, 3 hours, you know, that's usually enough time to get back here and to make it within 30 seconds, which is always when I seem to be able to make it, no matter what. You know, I could start from California and I'd make it here with 30 seconds to spare. It's just my lot in life, I suppose. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. What I'd like to do is go out with the Scottish music that we played a little bit of before, and this was recorded off the radio there in Edinburgh. I recorded a bunch of things, but there wasn't very much in the way of music. There was a lot of BBC and talk and things like that, which is fine, but not all that interesting right now. We'll hear that. If you want to write to us and comment on any of this, write to otw@2600.com. We'll be happy to read your letters on the air if they're civil. and clean. So, let's go out with this. I have no idea what it's called. I don't know what the words mean. If anybody out there has a translation for what we heard before on the Scottish radio or can translate this song, by all means write to us. OTW@2600.com. Stay tuned for the basketball game immediately following this.
Nad haimi shias anan nawing and jay, gurnis a fulam fachol ye, is ko a laces croon and shake, vihies juni nat came.
Hi, me, she is gonna know in you.